Let's take our Bibles this morning, or your phones, or your iPad, whatever it is, and let's say this together. This is my Bible. We are who God says we are. We can do what He says we can do. We partner with Him. We partner with each other. And we advance His kingdom one heart at a time. Amen. We're going to continue our series this morning, Pathways to Partnership. I'm going to try and contain myself with excitement because such good, rich scripture this morning. The Lord has given us these five core tenets for this year: honor, humility, trust, the unity of the Spirit, and then hearts for reconciliation. These five core tenets, He said, will ensure building a culture of honor despite being surrounded by a culture of dishonor. There's a lot of dishonor that goes on in social media and public life and, you know, this side and that side. Everybody's addicted to arguing. There's a blizzard of deception and distraction going on in this hour. And we need to be anchored to the truth and anchored to our Father's voice. If the prophetic words hold true, the ones that I hear coming forth, for the, you know, concerning things ahead, the enemy's just going to ratchet up the noise between now and November. So all the more important that we're locked in and anchored to Christ. So with that, I want you to know Stacy and I are praying for you. The staff is praying for you, your homes, your families, your marriages. If you're single, we're praying for you too. And your relationships. Just that we can cultivate within all we are and all we do in our circles of influence, honor, what it is to honor in a culture of dishonor, to walk humbly. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. So you look at all the pride and self-centeredness that's going on in the country right now. But unity, reconciliation, and trust, we're praying for these things to manifest. I want to go to the word again. November the 14th of 2019, the Lord gave us a prophetic word specifically for Grace Church. And here's what it says. A gate is opening over Grace Church, a portal to my throne and my spirit, forming partnerships. Everybody say partnerships. That are strife-free, sin-free, and stress-free. Amen. I hope we're praying that for our country. Strife-free, sin-free, and stress-free. Now, and here's the criteria. As humility wins the day, and no one cares who gets the credit. Amen. But only that Jesus Christ is magnified in, at, and through the people of Grace Church. Let's say it again. A gate is opening over Grace Church, a portal to my throne and my spirit, forming partnerships that are strife-free, sin-free, and stress-free as humility wins the day. Humility is the key component here. Nobody cares who gets the credit, but only that Jesus is glorified through everything that goes on here. Amen, somebody? So with that, I want to talk a little bit about humility. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. We've been talking about honor in a culture of dishonor. Now we're going to talk about humility in a culture filled with pride and strife and contention. Philippians 2:3, the Passion Translation, be free from pride-filled opinions. Well, we could stop right there, camp out for 30 minutes. Be free from pride-filled opinions from the media. Social media, from politicians. They'll only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. But in what kind of humility? Authentic humility. Put others first and view others as more important than you are. Isn't it interesting when we look into the scriptures? It's like a mirror. And so we read it and we look at it and then you're like, wow, you see how selfish the flesh is. You see how self-centered the flesh can be that's at war with the Spirit. Verse 4, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. My goodness, help us, Holy Ghost. Verse 5, and consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let His mindset of humility be your motivation. Man, I thought my rightness, my right opinion was my motivation. That I got to put everybody on blast, right? Because I'm on the right side of this argument. And fear drives me. Because everybody's got to believe like me, or the whole world's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Let me tell you something. I know that the enemy is at work in the world, but I also know there's only one Almighty in the universe. And we're on His side. Amen? I love that. Let Jesus' mindset of humility be your motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet He gave no thought to seizing equality with God as His supreme prize. Instead, He emptied Himself of His outward glory by reducing Himself to the form of a lowly servant. How did He do it? He became human. He's fully God. He's God. But He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself of His omnipresence. Confined Himself to a human body. Emptied Himself of omniscience. Now, did he know? Did He have words of knowledge? Did he know what people were thinking, etc.? The woman that had been married five times? Yes, but He leaned on the Father for all of that. He didn't walk around in His God deity reading everybody's mail. He was modeling for you. I'm the way you're designed to live. I'm the truth about you. He's modeling how you and I are designed to live, dependent on the Father's voice. So He emptied Himself of all the God stuff so He could show you what a life of dependence on the Spirit of the Father looks like. He became human. My goodness. I love this passage right here because Paul gives us actual humility in action. You know, sometimes we want to know, I know Brother Steve says we should be humble. We need to walk in. Scripture says walk in humility. What does it look like? He defines it for you. He says here, and I won't throw the verse back up there. I think it's verse 4. Humility in flesh and bone is to put others first. I'll go ahead. Super easy. Right? In authentic humility, what does it look like? Put others first. View others as more important than you. Abandon selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of you. That is what humility looks like. He defined it for you right here. And we take our example from Jesus Christ. He's our example. Stacy has written on my bathroom mirror. Those who walk in humility take up their cross daily. Everybody say daily. By laying down the desires of the flesh for the good of other people. Those who walk in humility take up their cross daily by laying down the desires of the flesh for the good of other people. That is humility. That's what that is. And you say, but Brother Steve, I'm the boss. I'm the leader of this outfit, whether, you know, your home or whatever. I'm dad. I'm super dad in the house. I'm the husband by God. Isn't it funny if you have to tell everybody you're in charge? You're clearly not in charge. But I'm the leader. I'm the boss. I'm the father. I'm the husband. I'm the dad. Yeah. Then you should do it better. Yes, that's right. Than those who aren't the boss, aren't the leader, aren't the father, aren't the husband. You should do it better than them. Come on, amen. Lead the way. Yeah. You can't live by do as I say and not as I do. That won't work. Lead the way. Do it better than those. If you think you're, you know, quote, above the other people, whether it's your job or your family or something, I don't know how you come to terms with that. But if that's really what you think, you got to lead the way. Do it better than everybody else. Jesus Christ is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And in Matthew 20, He said He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to what? And to give. And to give. To be given. So as the leader, you need to lead by what you supply to people, not what you demand. Lead by what you supply. Where do we learn that, Pastor? Well, from Jesus. He leads you every day by what He supplies to you. He doesn't tell Levon, go out there and love, brother. You need love just like me, and good luck. I hope you do it. If you don't do it well, I'll smite you. No, Jesus said, Levon, I love you. and here's all my love. I'm not withholding anything from you. Now, I not ask you to earn it, but I do ask you to share it. Will you receive it? Will you give it away? Amen. He leads by what he supplies. So in Matthew 20, Jesus tells us how the world works. They want to be served. They don't want to serve. They want to be served. They want to obtain honor, not dispense honor. That's the way the world does it. They want people to humble themselves before them, not go humble themselves before others. You think it would quiet down a little bit politically if people would just walk in this? News would go out of business. And that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? We don't even need to watch the news. So Jesus is saying, that's how the world does it. This is Matthew 20, around verse 24 through 28. He says, the world does it that way. That's not my kingdom. We don't operate that way. Verse 28, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. What would happen to our families if we led the way in this? Just took Paul's definition of humility and said, you know what? Let's put others first. Let's care more about what matters to them than what matters to us. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean, my goodness, I can't believe I even have to say this, but it doesn't mean if your son is 5 and he wants to, you know, go to Las Vegas or go to the carnival or whatever and you can't afford to go, that he's in charge. You see what I'm saying? You got to have wisdom with that. It's a mindset that becomes our motivation to serve and to give. What would happen in the workplace if we simply followed this definition of humility? And you know, the world says, hey, you know, you need some me time, man. You need some time just for yourself. You really need to get alone, just think about yourself. Guys, nowhere in Scripture does it say we're healed by going alone, getting alone and thinking about ourselves. And this whole thing that you just need some me time, go get some self time. Now, if it's me and Jesus time, I'm with you. Let him pour into you, breathe into you, refresh you. But this idea that, well, I just need some me time for me to think about myself, that's garbage. You stay away from that. Why? Because we don't heal that way. We heal by being given. He sent his word, Psalm 107:20, and healed us. So we're healed by participating with the word. And the word is the one who said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give. Amen. That's how we heal. We don't heal in self-protection. We don't heal in building walls. We don't heal in self-defending and being self-absorbed. Amen. So my experience with the Scriptures is the Word is like a mirror. And so I see humility in the Word. I see it here. And I see it in Jesus Christ. And then I begin to realize, man, the flesh that tries to be at work in me has some real selfish tendencies to it. But then I have to make a decision. See, the mirror can show you that you have broccoli in your teeth. But you don't take the mirror off the wall and dig the broccoli out with it. So the law is good and can show you where you've missed the mark, but you've got to partner with Jesus himself, with the Spirit himself. That's where the power comes from to walk out obedience. The law in and of itself is powerless to help you. That was never its purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6, the law of the letter kills. Who? You. But the Spirit gives life. What is it killing us? It should kill your self-reliance and your self-righteousness. That's what that mirror is showing you. Hey, I got big broccoli in my teeth. But I'm not going to use the mirror to get it out. I'm going to walk with Jesus. He's going to empower me by the Spirit to walk in righteousness and sanctification. There are churches who are filled with people who misuse the law. The law of the letter kills. It kills you and your self-reliance, and rightfully so. That's what I was saying. Jesus doesn't say to Levon, go out there and work up some love and try to look like me as best you can. He says, no, leave on, receive me. Receive my love. I'll come inside of you and I'll love through you. And you'll share in my glory. Amen. That's important because there is a misdiagnosis, a misuse of the law. The law was given not for you to, quote, keep it and now be self-righteous because you're keeping the Ten Commandments. It's there to show you your need of the Spirit of Christ at work within you. Amen. So I'm going to use my place of justification, my safe place in Christ to then be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me show you this. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, this is rich. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, he didn't say, so you'll be. He said, as the elect, this is who you are in Christ. If you're in Christ, this is who you are. You're the elect of God. It literally means, the word elect means he chose you. You've been elected. God chose you. Everybody say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
Not will be chosen if you keep the Ten Commandments. You are chosen because of Christ. Look at this. Holy. Everybody say, I'm holy. And beloved. Everybody say, I'm beloved by God. That's your justification. That's your justification, which is this. Let me give you the definition. Justification is that you've been made and declared right in the eyes of God. Okay, not just declared right. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You've been made and declared right by Him. So that's your posture of justification. Justified, never sinned. So you get to have a place of great security with the Lord. You want to know why we don't grow very well in the body of Christ? Because we've been taught that if you sin, if you do a big piece of stupid, God will uproot you out of the soil. Plants grow the best when they're stationary and safe in the soil. Once they're safe in the soil, they can explode with growth. You've got to get a hold of the fact that God loves you and you are who He says you are. That you've been justified. You've got a position in Christ that cannot be changed, that you grow from. Now, is that the end of the story? No, because look what he says. Because you're chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Who's he saying to put it on? Us. You choose to put it on. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long suffering. Bearing with each other. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint, even as Christ forgave you, look at this, you must also forgive. As Christ what? Forgave. That's past tense. If you came today so you can get your sins forgiven, you're too late. He's already done it. Did you know that he's not coming down? He doesn't die every day you commit a sin. He doesn't fly back down here. Let me die on the cross real quick. Holly made a mistake. He's already paid for it. Say, how is that possible? It's the power of the blood.
Yes.
And the justification work of the blood of Jesus Christ. It had power to cleanse past sins. Amen?
Yes.
Present sins. Yes. Amen? And future sins. Yes. You and I weren't even born yet. Of course it has power to go forward.
Amen.
So it's even gone into tomorrow and next week, and any sins you might commit in the future, you're forgiven. Because you're forgiven, put on forgiveness. He supplied it to you. Now share it. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is your bond of perfection, which literally unites us together. Verse 15, and let, notice these are imperatives. He's asking you to do it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Why? Because you're chosen, you're holy, and you're beloved of God. You're not trying to get there. You are there. The moment you set out to become something, you just told yourself you're not something. So if you're doing good works and taking part in outreach, or you bought somebody a soda at work so you'll be holy, you're in unbelief. If you're a born again Christian, you already are holy in your spirit man. And from the place of justification, you do holy things. Why? To be holy? No, because you are holy in Christ. So he says, verse 16, here's another imperative. You, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name, the reputation, the stead, and the authority of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. How good is that? How good is that? It's rich, powerful. So this morning, this shirt was in my closet, but it did not leap onto my body. I put it on. I didn't put it on so I could be holy. I'm switching over to humility and tender mercy. I put it on because I am holy, I am chosen of God, and I am accepted in the Beloved. Does that make sense? So in Christ, let's say this shirt is humility. In Christ, you do have it. It's in your closet. Jesus got it for you. You're not working up humility. You're participating with it. Don't strive to be humble. Surrender to the humility of Jesus Christ that's already inside of you. Surrender to it. Put it on. Walk with it. Sorry. I spit all the way out there. That was a record. That was a record. That was Presbyterian baptism right there. Little dab will do you. Hey, write this down. The key is every morning, write this down. Put it on Facebook, your mirror, your refrigerator, somewhere. The key is put on what you already possess. Put on what you already possess. I'm not working up love. Love is in my closet. And I'm going to put on love because it's mine. You see how I'm living from that place of rest and from justification. Let me show you the Message Bible, same passage, Colossians 3:12. You're always and dearly loved by God. Amen. Amen. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you've already been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Be compassionate. Show kindness to what? To all. Be gentle, humble. Be unoffendable. Yes, Lord. Unoffendable in your patience with others. Can I say it again? Nobody has the power to offend you. You have to take offense. It knocks at the door. You have to open it and say, come on in, I'll put you on. And why would you put that on when your closet is full of all these other things? Verse 13, tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of God. Amen, everybody. Forgiving each other the same way you've been graciously forgiven already. If you find fault with somebody, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. Did it go? I'm excited. I just wanted to go to the next one. Maybe I can get some help from the back. Thank you. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Do you want to know why we don't mature? We don't know and believe how much God loves us. But we prayed into this yesterday. We've been praying into it since prayer showed yesterday. We need a breakthrough, church. We need a breakthrough. And you say, well, I know God loves me. Yeah, you have the concept. But what we're looking for is conception. That you know by experience, personal revelation, how much He loves you. Modern church is, oh, God, you know, please love me. Give me more passion for you, Lord. No, He's like, you need to know my passion for you. You only love. Thanks, Gavin. You only love because I first loved you. You can only give away to the capacity you first received. I mean, join us. We're just going to pray into these two things, that there becomes a deep revelation in this house of how absolutely loved by God we are. And not just intellectually concept, but we experientially know by revelation how passionate God is about us. Number two, that we walk in intimacy as a result every day with Jesus. You do that. You're walking with Him every day. Jesus is coaching you. You're going to grow. I'll prove it to you here in a second. Verse 15, let your heart be always guided by the peace of the anointed one who called you to peace as part of his one body. Always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with psalms and festive praises, prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. Sing to God with all your hearts. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. There's another good one in there, how praise comes out of that revelation that we're loved. Amen. So, when you're accessing suffering, access praise. Wasn't that the word? When you're we had that at Prayer Shield. When you're accessing suffering, access praise. Remember Paul and Silas? They praised God from prison. Didn't even praise him to get out. They just praised him because they loved him. Let's talk about justification and sanctification here. So, again, justification is made and declared right in the eyes of God. Now, here's sanctification. Moving from an intimate place of right standing with God, we grow in the safety of his love and his correction. From a safe place, intimate place of right standing, we begin to grow. So here I've kind of contrasted these for you. Justification is what Jesus did for you on the cross. Sanctification is what Jesus does for you every single day. He'll admonish you, put on humility. Put on tender mercy, right? From where? From within you and from the scriptures. What Jesus, this justification, what Jesus provided for you through his blood. Sanctification, what Jesus is doing in you. Via his Holy Spirit. Justification is immediate. Sanctification goes on and on until you see him face to face. Justification is us and our spirit declared right in God's sight. Sanctification is our soul and body walking out our rightness. Amen. Justification, Jesus only. Sanctification, Jesus and us partnering together. Amen, amen. Amen. So how do people who are unholy, rejected, become all of a sudden chosen, holy, and beloved? How does that happen? Justification. The blood of Jesus Christ has declared you and made you right before him. Yes. Now let's talk about sanctification. How do people move from being prideful, unloving, unforgiving, to doing what Colossians says, to putting on humility, putting on forgiveness, putting on love. How does that happen? People who used to not walk in that are now walking in it. It's called sanctification. Right. Moving from that intimate place of right standing, we grow in the safety of his loving correction. Same with our own kids. Your own kids are safe with you, right? Amen. Most of the time. So they're safe with you. They grow in your love and in your oversight, your protection. It's the same with us. Anyone that receives Jesus Christ's work of justification, he will actively sanctify. Did you hear me? Every person that has received Jesus Christ's work of justification and salvation, they receive it, they become born again. Now what? He will actively sanctify. What are you saying? I'm saying God's not going to let his children act like unbelievers. He's not going to allow it. And if you're here today and you can just go out and sin and do whatever you want and say this, say that, act this, act that, do that, whatever, and you have no inner conviction, you need to get saved. You're not saved. You don't have the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of Jesus on the inside of you, because I can't get away with anything. Amen. Amen, somebody. You ought to be able to relate to that. I open my mouth and bitter water comes out. I'm going to hear about it. And not from the other person. I mean, maybe from the other person, but I guarantee I'm going to hear about it from the Holy Spirit. Who is, his first name is? No, the Holy Spirit. His first name is Holy. He's holy. He is Jesus. He has the Spirit of Jesus. God won't let us act like brats and let us get away with it. If you're acting like a brat and you don't feel anything, all you feel is justification, you need to get born again today. Today! Amen. The church has watered all this down to, hey, just sign a card. Just believe that Jesus died and rose again. The demons believe that. You gotta get born again. You gotta give your heart to the one who made your heart for himself. Amen. And then welcome to a life of not getting away with anything. Amen. Which is a great life. It's full of peace. God won't allow his child to act like an unbeliever without interfering. It's called correction. Are you ready for this? It's called love. It's called conviction. It's called chastisement. Conviction sounds like convince. He's going to every day convince you how righteous you are that and say that's why we don't act that way. Jackie, it's because of who you are that I won't allow you to talk to Margaret that way. I'm just kidding, everybody. It's just an example. But because I know who you are, because you're righteous, I'm convincing you every day how righteous you are. Ezekiel 36:27, God said, there's coming a day, I'll put my spirit inside you and I'll cause you to keep my commands. I'll cause you from inside. If you have no cause within you, moving you towards righteousness, holiness, and sanctification, you're not saved. Hebrews chapter 8, he said, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and your mind. So the laws of God, love for people, is written in you. So when you live incongruent with that, you're going to hear about it. Amen. These directives here in Colossians, put on humility, put on tender mercy, put on love, put on forgiveness. These are imperatives. He's asking you to do it. Now, if you don't do it, does that mean you're no longer holy and accepted? No, it doesn't mean that. It's not performance based. He's saying this is the way I designed you to live. As a new creation, chosen, holy and beloved, let me give you the roadmap. This is the blueprint. This is the clothes we wear. Amen. It's not performance. It's not do this or else. Honestly, sin is its own punishment. You want to walk around in pride and kill everything you love, then that's on you. It's his own punishment. It is true. The enemy will take everything from you that you allow him to in the way, not of your spiritual quotient, but the things in your life. So you got to choose to put it on. It's not going to leap on you. You choose sanctification every day by putting on what you already possess. Now look at this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, in the Amplified Bible. Such hope never disappoints or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Okay, so as a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit has exploded in your heart. And from there, he causes you, he speaks to you, and conforms you to the image of Jesus. Amen. Verse 6, while we were yet in weakness, we were powerless to help ourselves. At just the right time, Christ died for and in behalf of the ungodly. Who was the ungodly? Us. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble or lovable or generous benefactor someone might dare to die. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There you go. He didn't come here because he needed something. He came here because we did. He came to serve and to give, to provide for us what we could not provide for ourselves. This is what we put on every day. So we look like the master. And let me hit you with this. The true you, who you are by the Spirit as a new creation, is humble, is loving, and is forgiving. And the more you identify and see yourself as the new creation, the easier it is for you to submit to it and participate with it. If you're trying to work up being humble, good luck, man. But if you recognize, hey, the real me is humble. This is who I am. I'm going to participate with it. You'll have a lot more success that way. Verse 9. Therefore, since we are now what? Justified. Remember justification. He did that for us. That means acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood. How much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God? Last verse, verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, it's much more certain now that we are reconciled. Are we reconciled? Then live like it. You know what our principal sin is in the body of Christ is unbelief. We just don't believe He really loves us. We don't believe we've really been made right. We confuse, you know, Mary Bell was texting me this morning. We confuse the love that we see in the world and put it on God. His love is not like the world. It's beyond what humans can comprehend. It's beyond the natural. I mean, we see it right here. He proves His love, dying for us as enemies. But we're reconciled to God through the death of His Son. It's much more certain now that we are reconciled, we'll be saved. Look at this. Daily delivered from sin's dominion through His resurrection life. That word life there is Zoe in the Greek. It's divine life. So you are sanctified. Your spirit is saved and justified. But you're being sanctified in your soul and body by His life. Where is the life of Christ now? In you. Speaking to you. Coaching you. Chastising you if needed. From His lap. Amen. So we put on humility. We put on love. We put on forgiveness. You know, I think God knew, because we were born into sin, that we loved sin, and He knew it would take a greater love for us to overcome sin. Anybody in this room want to overcome sin on a daily basis? I do. All right. So God knew it would take a greater love. So He proves His love for us. He dies for us. That's how He was going to generate love within our hearts for Him, that we would love Him more than we love sin. Have you been honest with yourself that the flesh that's at work in us loves sin? So it's going to be a greater love. I loved what Jean shared at Prayer Shield yesterday. She said she spent time praying at one time for patience for her husband. And instead of praying for patience, which wasn't working, she shifted and she prayed for love. Would you empower me to love? And that made all the difference. It's love that never fails. Love is what overcomes. So God knew it would take a greater love at work within us. Romans 5:5 says, love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's a greater love that's at work within us. And so every day we choose. You love sin or you love Him. Every day we choose. So we have to understand the love of God that empowers us to live uprightly. We were talking with Mary Bell, or she shared at Prayer Shield yesterday. I just put a plug in here. If you love to pray, you love to worship, you should come to Prayer Shield. If you want to connect with some people that love to pray and love to worship, just good people. It's an easy way to get connected here at Grace Church, because we have all day. I mean, it lasts an hour and a half or two, but we have all day if you want to get to know somebody. Not rush for time. But anyway, Mary Bell was saying what stuck out to her. Her and James live in Wellston. They drive all the way from Wellston. Why? Because when they came here, the Lord went to work on her and gave her a personal experiential revelation of how much He loved her. And she was testifying yesterday that what moved her away from her sin patterns was knowing that He loved her no matter what. Amen. Even if she failed, He would be there with her and He would love her no matter what. And then, 1 John 4:19, she loves Him now. Why? Because He first loved her. But it's by revelation, church. It's by revelation. It's not just concept. It's been conceived in her. Christ has been conceived in her. The love of God has exploded in her heart. Now, is she perfect at walking it out and not loving the world and all that? Nope, not perfect yet. but she can't get away with it. He talks to her about it. We've committed to pray into this. I'm praying it for the whole body of Christ. If we're short on love in America, and 66% of Americans claim to be Christians, think about that. Look at our culture. Look at the atmosphere. 66% claim to be Christian. There is an absolute deficit of understanding the love of God. So we are committed to praying into this, church, and that people would, as a result, begin to walk daily in intimacy. Mary Bell wants to walk with Jesus every day. Why? Because she knows He loves her and He's committed to her even when she stumbles. He is there to pick her up. Amen. We need to know how passionate He is about us, and it would awaken the church. The church would come alive with passion for Him. This is crucial. Can I say this? Despite your less than perfect track record, God's love for you has never wavered. Think about that. Think about that. It is relentless. It's like waves on a shore. He just keeps on coming. Despite your less than perfect track record, He has not given up on you, and He loves you no matter what. I had somebody text me yesterday. This should sound familiar, I would think. She said, I really struggled the last couple of months because I've been tempted with the world, and I feel like I gave myself too much to the world, and now I just feel so condemned, like God doesn't want anything to do with me. Does that sound familiar? What is the key for that person? She must know and believe, 1 John 4:16, that she's loved by God. Know it and believe it. Participate with it. So that when she stumbles, she gets up and understands, that's the devil lying to me. The devil is the one telling me that God wants nothing to do with me. And if the devil is a liar and he speaks a lie of his own nature, then whatever he tells you, the opposite is true. So if he ever tells you God wants nothing to do with you, what's the truth? Right. He loves you. He wants to be with you. Because when the devil speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature. So the next time he says something to you and he lies to you, start praising God. And say, devil, thank you for reminding me of this truth. Amen. How about this? The love of God is based on the character of the giver, not the conduct of the receiver. It's based upon the person of the giver, not the performance of the receiver. My whole world changed the day I discovered, through personal experiential revelation of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Himself, that I could not move Him off of His faithfulness. And that God didn't love me because I was so good, but because He was. I'm going to say it again. My whole world changed the day that I discovered God loves me, not because I was always so good, but because He's so good. You remember the Dennis the Menace story? Yeah, the cookies. Three of you. Dennis the Menace, the old cartoon. He and his buddy go into Miss Wilson's house. Empty-handed. The next frame, they come out, they got armloads of cookies. I mean, cookie after cookie is falling through their arms. And Dennis's friend said, Dennis, what do you suppose we did to deserve all these cookies? And Dennis looked at his friend and said, well, I don't think we got them because we're so good. I think we got them because she's so good. That's how you got justified.
That's right. Amen.
And that greater love that's at work now in your heart is what allows you to participate in sanctification. My goodness. Once we get the revelation of how much we're loved, our love for God outgrows our love for sin. Our love for God starts outgrowing our love for sin. Father, let it be so right now in the name of Jesus by revelation. We are so loved by You. It outgrows our love for sin. God won't make you love Him. But you don't have the power to make Him not love you. And you need to come to terms with that. Steve, I want to come to terms with that. What do I lack? Faith. Believe it. If you believe it, James says it translates into action. Faith has corresponding action. So you live as one who is loved. Listen to this. If you can receive the love of God, you can live. Not perform, not be perfect. If you can receive, you can live. If you can receive, you can love like God. If you can receive, you can forgive like God. What's wrong with the modern church? We're receiving challenged. We've been taught to work, to perform, to go do, to make it happen. No, you got to receive. If you can receive, you can live the Christian life. Be still and know. How about be a branch? What are branches good at? Abiding, receiving, and holding fruit. Even the fruit doesn't come from the branch. It comes from the vine. But it comes through the branch. Come on, is this making sense to you? If you can receive, you can love. If you can receive, you can forgive. So let Jesus love you into loving. Let Christ love, forgive you into forgiving. Let Him humble you into walking humbly. Let Him tender mercy you into putting on tender mercy. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. Why do we struggle with fear? What casts out all fear? Perfect love. Why do we worry? We don't understand how much He loves. We don't know His love. We don't know it and believe it. Some symptoms when we're not walking in the perfected love of God. If you have fear, you're not walking in the perfected love of God. If there's worry, same thing. If there's shame, same thing. Performance-based acceptance, same thing. Guilt, same thing. 1 John 4 goes on to say in verse 19, whoever fears punishment has not been perfected in the love of God. I never once said He punishes you. What I said was, He'll correct you, He'll love you, He'll chastise you. I didn't say anything about punishment. Christ took your punishment. What's the wages of sin? Death. He'd have to kill you if He's punishing you for sin. Not make you lose your job. Not make your kids don't love you anymore. He doesn't do that. That would be being light on sin. Man, that's fantastic. What a revelation. Think about that. Well, my car broke down probably because, you know, I spent the weekend getting drunk or whatever. That'd be being light on sin if the wages of sin is your car breaks down. That's not what Scripture says. He'd have to kill you if He were punishing you for your sin. He's not punishing you for it. He will correct you. He'll chastise you. But He's right there. You're in His lap. It's father and child. As the elect of God, holy and beloved by God, put on these things. Participate with your justification in the process of sanctification. Gavin, you guys can come. Amen. 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 Our chief sin is unbelief. That's what we got to drive out. Dare to believe how much He loves you, no matter what your feelings tell you, no matter what somebody else says. Dare to believe how much God loves you. Dare to believe everything He says about you, no matter how good it is. It's like Mary Bell says, we just confuse His character with everybody in the world we know. Look at this. Yeah, or our own. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks to God. We've heard that in all three passages this morning. We're bound to give thanks to God always for you. Why is thanksgiving important? Because if you're giving thanks, that means you've received something.
Amen.
Amen. Gratitude comes because you've accepted something, and it's really great gratitude when you know you didn't deserve it.
Amen.
Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. You are sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, right? He doesn't let you stray. He says, hey, that's not who you are. Let's come back here and live the life that I've called you to. Let's put on the things I've asked you to put on. Number two, believe the truth. That's what ails the church, is we don't believe we're loved by God. If we really believe the depth, the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth by revelation, we would be different. We would not look like the world. Amen. Stand with me. Sanctification. The work of the Spirit and belief in the truth. Father, we believe, but help our unbelief. Unleash humility through us, Lord. Unleash the love of God through us. Unleash forgiveness of Christ through us, Lord. May we let You love us into loving. May we let You love us into loving. Amen, amen, amen. If you're here this morning, and as you go throughout your day and you do big pieces of stupid, but you just don't even think twice about it, and you want to get saved, you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, the governor, where he can begin to govern you in paths of righteousness. If that's you, would you lift your hand up and say, pray for me? Anybody here need to be born again? I need to receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ today in my heart. Okay, amen. Amen. Well, let's worship. Let's just take some time now in his presence.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.